Welcome to The Author Show, where we present new authors and books. From fiction to self-help and everything in between, you'll find it all here. To watch the TV version of our program, visit AuthorsWebTV.com. That's AuthorsWebTV.com. And now, let the show begin.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming the program author Karen Rashoff. And Karen is the author of Parents in High School Land, Helping Students Succeed in the Critical Years. Karen, how are you?
I'm very well.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
I was a high school counselor for 33 years, working in the trenches of the high school guidance office. I received my master's in counseling in 1978, and now I've been retired for a year. And I had the passion to write a book for parents. Parents would walk into my guidance office not knowing what to do with their kids in middle school and in high school. And this book has 52 quick stories to help parents help guide their kids through high school.
So who did you write your book for specifically?
Mostly females. The moms seemed to be the most concerned who would come into my office. So moms ages 30 to 65, and I say 65 years old because grandparents are very concerned, of course, about their grandkids, about their achievement in high school. So anywhere between 30-year-olds and 65-year-olds would be the target audience for this book.
Now, could you say there's any type of central message or perhaps underlying theme that you could say runs throughout the book?
I would say the theme throughout the book is take the drama out of high school and get more peace in your home. Parents would come into my office saying, "What can I do? I wish you would change your attitude about school." There would be fights in the evenings about studying and homework, power struggles, power plays between the parent and the student. So my goal is to make the home more peaceful.
So if you had to choose, what would you say is the single most important idea you're sharing in this book that's really going to add value to the reader's life?
The value to the home, to the readers, and to the students. And by the way, students can read this book too. It's not a secret. I would always advise that parents and grandparents share what they're reading with their kids. And I would say the value of this book is to, like I said, get peace in the home. Parents have a lot of tools with them, but parents are often so desperately concerned about their kids that they can't see the forest for the trees. Me, being an outsider in the field for 33 years, I have all that experience with educators, with administrators, with teens and parents to give them helpful hints, very specific, concrete behaviors to use at home in the evenings to help their kids.
If you could compare your book with any book out there we might already be familiar with, which book would it be and why?
I love Dr. Phil. So he's written very excellent books, as we all know. His Family First book and Relationship Rescue book, they're great books because they're very specific. They tell stories. They have specific ideas about what to do about behaviors. My book is not theoretical. It's not esoteric. It has specific behaviors to use at home. And I love Dr. Phil's question that he always asks, "How is this working for you?" It's practical and concise, and it helps parents really look at their situation at home with their teens and judge, how is this behavior working? How is that behavior not working?
Now, there are a lot of parenting books out there. How is your book different?
I'm the only one that I have found, and I've searched on bookshelves and bookstores and online, and I am the only author that I can find who has worked in a high school guidance office for 33 years. So I conducted about 19,602 parent conferences throughout my career. And from those parent conferences, I have my stories and my advice and my tips for parents to use at home.
What inspired you to write a book about the subject?
Throughout my career, I would kind of joke and say, "Oh, I'm going to put this in my book." So it's been in process for 33 years, actually. I put it in writing 5 years ago, and now it's published and doing well. So my inspiration was to help parents. Loving, intelligent, concerned parents would walk into my office just not having a clue. So my goal was to clue in parents about how to help their teens concretely at home at night.
Now, you write about teens needing structure when it comes to studying and homework. What are some examples of structure parents can offer at home?
Teens and middle school kids don't understand time. I found that the best students with the highest grades understand how to use time. They make use of time. They're efficient with time. the kids who didn't have such great grades or great study skills don't know how to use time. So we as adults and as kids need to use time wisely. So it could be a parent's job to structure their kids' time in the evening. And I would say use a timer, a digital timer that doesn't make a tick-ticking noise, and let the student be in charge of that. And let them monitor their own time at the kitchen table or at the dining room table while they study, and then they can go off and have the evening free on their own.
Are there other books out there that give similar information to parents of teens?
There are a couple of books that are similar to mine, but no one has written a book who's been in the guidance office in a high school.
How can parents deal with teachers when a problem or a question comes up?
The first step they would do is to email the teacher for a meeting to get more information. A teen will come home with a complaint or a concern or be confused, but sometimes the teen doesn't give the parent all the information. So it's the parent's job is to get all the information accurately. So they email the teacher, set up the time to get together, always bring their student with them so everyone is hearing the same information because we're all on the same team together. Parents, teens, educators, counselors, administrators all want teens to succeed in school and be happy in life in general. So we're all on the same team. We just need the information and the tools to get there.
Is there anything parents can do when their kids are young to encourage a love of learning?
Read to them. When they're very tiny, read to them. Have books around the house, not in the bookshelves, neatly in a bookshelf. Scatter books all around the house. Take them to the library. Make reading and studying normal. And I love the term normalize it because learning and studying and reading is perfectly normal to do. Some kids would come home, I would learn in my parent conferences, and they would say to their parents, I've been in school 6 hours all day, I'm done, I don't want to do any more homework. So homework is practice. That's the whole theory behind homework. That's the reason for homework is to practice. So if parents normalize homework and normalize studying, just like you normalize brushing your teeth, washing your hair, normalize the school scene, then there will be greater achievement in high school.
Now you write about having expectations of your teens in school. How does a parent go about doing that?
Sit down together with your teen and say, what do you think are realistic expectations here? Parents should not, because it doesn't work, impose their expectations on the teen. They need to make a plan together with the teen to see what is reasonable. Are all B's reasonable? Are C's reasonable? Are straight A's reasonable? So you sit down with your teen on a piece of paper and make a plan, not a contract. I don't like contracts. A plan of action, just like we do at work. We make plans to work. We set goals. We set objectives. And then we make a plan. You can do that with your teen to say what's reasonable with homework nightly, what's reasonable weekly, what's reasonable by the semester. And then reward that teen, not necessarily with money, but with other incentives that would motivate that teen.
How can a parent be involved without being overbearing?
Communicate with your teen. Communicate with the teacher. Communicate, communicate. That's all I can say is communicate. And don't hover. Don't be a helicopter parent because that does nobody any good at all. A helicopter parent, here's a definition, is one who does the teen's work for them, the one who sits down with them, hovers over them constantly, and teens do not like that. And parents need to give their teen enough room to make mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes in middle school and high school. No one has to be perfect because that's where you learn. You learn by mistake.
What can parents do at home to encourage kids to study?
Put the time in a box. And I mean put it in a box where it's got parameters around it. To encourage your kid to study, they need to be out of the bedroom, not studying in the bedroom, not laying around on the couch watching TV while they study, but sit at the dining room table, kitchen table with no distractions, no TV, away from their computer, away from Facebook for a limited amount of time. Maybe 20 minutes is all they can handle. So 20 minutes, stop, run around, do other things, then come back and study some more. So I say put a box around that time so it doesn't drag on all night long.
How can a parent help in creating more confident and empowered kids?
Set them up for success. The most successful and happy students are confident students. So you can't do that as a parent by running interference. set them up for success, ask them what they love. You probably already know what they love. Ask them what they love and set them up to do the things that they love where they will have success. If a teen loves animals, maybe they can volunteer in an animal shelter outside of school. If they love kids, maybe they can volunteer somewhere in a school situation or in a preschool situation. So success, kids need to know how success feels, because the most successful students are comfortable with success. Set them up to be comfortable with success, and that goes up, that goes through life.
What's a good study environment at home?
Away from distractions. You know, we have so many distractions these days, more than ever before, which get in the way of studying and reading and homework. Kids will always say, oh, I need my cell phone to study. So I would advise that during study time, take the cell phone away, and kids will be very upset about that, saying they need their phone, but that pretty much acts as a distraction. So keep the cell phone and then give it back to them when they're done with their studying. That could be their reward.
Now, you have a chapter called Working Ourselves Out of a Job. What does that mean?
The goal of high school is to get kids ready for college, yes, but it's also to get them ready for life out of high school. High school teaches things like being on time, turning in work on time, working with people, working independently. So high school has a lot of value in that it teaches successful behaviors for life in your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s. It teaches the starts of habits that will last a lifetime.
Other than selling your book, of course, is there anything else you hope to accomplish with it?
To get the word out to parents that you don't have to be miserable with your teenager, that you can be happy at home and relaxed at home and not have battles. My goal is to make the family home more peaceful in the evenings.
In your opinion, who should buy your book?
Parents of middle school students, elementary school students, so they'll know what's up ahead. They'll know what's in the future and not be surprised when high school hits, the freshman year hits, and they're not surprised about the amount of work expected by teachers and about the responsibilities of a high school student. So I would say elementary, middle school, parents should buy this book to know what's coming up in high school so they won't be surprised. I was always surprised as a high school counselor that freshman parents would come in and say, he's a freshman now and I'm backing off completely. Bad idea. Freshmen need their parents to help them get organized, to help them study, to help them feel time, to help them learn the skills of getting along with other people, of communicating with adults, of communicating with their peers. So parents need to read this book so they'll know what the expectations are in high school.
The time is getting very short, so the most important question, where can readers find you and your book?
It is sold on Amazon.com. My website is highschoolland.com, and I'm very proud of my website. So there are downloadable tip sheets for free that parents can look at that talks about study skills. There's a study skill survey in there, how to use time, how to praise your student. So it's HIGHSCHOOLAND, highschoolland.com.
Could you spell your name for us, please?
Karen, K-A-R-Y-N, Rashoff, R-A-S-H-O-F-F.
Well, this has been just great. Our guest today has been Karen Rashoff, and she is the author of Parents in High School Land, Helping Students Succeed in the Critical Years. Karen, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Don.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. Listen to some of your favorite authors every day, 24/7, by visiting theauthorshow.com. Just click on the book title and the player at the top of the page. These interviews are available to book buyers worldwide on demand. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and feel you could benefit by getting in front of your target audience with a high-quality media interview that will make a real impact, visit www.theauthorshow.com, fill out the form, and we may be contacting you shortly. Join us here next time for another great book and another exciting author on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. To contact us, call toll-free 1-877-955-8800. That's 877-55-8800. Or visit theauthorshow.com. Theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.